From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. We have amazing guests with us. The Mountain Trails Foundation, one of the darling nonprofits of Park City, has turned a corner with the retirement of longtime director Charlie Sturgis and a few new staff members, including new executive director Laura Smith and new executive assistant Ian Hartley. And we are excited. They join us today in studio to discuss the state of the Mountain Trails organization and the state of affairs of our trails here locally. Welcome.
Thanks, Pete.
It's so great to have you, and welcome to your new roles. And share with us a little bit about the transition going from the Charlie Sturgis era to now the new era under Laura Cole Smith, and we're really excited.
Yeah, so we knew a while back that Charlie was going to be retiring, and so the board at Mountain Trails performed a search, found 30 applicants, whittled that down to 12, whittled that down to 5, then whittled it down to me, and it was an excruciating process, but here I am. And my promotion left a vacancy in middle management, which is, again, we went through a search process and ended up with Ian Hartley. Lucky me. Yeah.
And I'm sure the application process was extensive, elaborate. There was probably a lot of mountain biking requirements and, hours and hours on trail. You had to build a trail within, 5 hours, yeah. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
How is the new role for you?
It's awesome. It's fun. It's I'm enjoying. For a long time, I've sort of had this, you sit in middle management for long enough, and you get ideas, and you see things that you'd like to do differently, and now it's my turn. So, yeah, it's super exciting.
And Ian, I don't believe, has been on the radio yet to sort of introduce himself as the new. Now, your title is called Executive Assistant, but to me that means something totally different. That's on the website.
Well, he chose the name, so.
I'm proud to be Laura's Executive Assistant, for the record. If anyone knows Laura, she's been the driving force behind Mountain Trails. Charlie is such a charismatic leader, but Laura's been behind the scenes for so long, doing so much. I'm proud to be her assistant.
And you came from White Pine as you were the manager there, right? Tell us a little bit about you. You have a couple young kids. You have been in the community for quite a while, and it's obvious that your interest in trails is way up here, very high.
Yeah, I like to say, before you answer, I like to say he came to us half-baked. Like, he was almost done. He just needs some polishing and some learning of systems, and he just plugged right into our just not the, just the company culture, but he's sort of representative of the entire Park City culture. So it was... like, I couldn't have picked, I'm so lucky that he came to me. So, yeah, thanks, Ian.
And it's an honor. It's an honor to be amongst so many great peoples and the mover and shakers in the trail world. Obviously, my family, we've all been invested in the trails, and it's where we all get together. And to see everyone who is so invested and accountable for that experience and to be a part of the growth of the trails in Park City is truly an honor. So I'm so glad to be here.
Well, welcome. And you have two young boys who are, I'm sure they're already on the trails, right? Either with their push bikes or their real bikes.
Absolutely. Yep. It's hard getting them out when it's warm like this, but we have a great time. We live in Prospector, so getting right on Freemason Trail and riding Lost Prospector, we've discovered some old mine ruins that we go visit, so some really exciting stuff out there. And to be raised amongst the trails, I'm totally jealous. They've got it pretty good.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a great place, as we've talked about, to raise kids and to bring up a family. And so, to have you two here as the trail experts, the the king and queen, or the queen and king, or prince of
I don't
of
know.
Trails.
Is trail royalty a thing? I don't know.
It should be. There should be at least a cape. That you should wear. It's pretty awesome to be in your presence.
Okay,
so.
I want a Wonder Woman cape, not a queen cape.
There you go. All right. Yes. Agreed. So trail royalty here. what is the new happenings then? So with that transition, with you both and the enthusiasm that you have, and you know, we have quite a bit of trails. What are the next steps for Mountain Trails?
Well, you know, there's some hot topics. Let's start with a hot topic, and that's fire danger. And our crews recently went through some fire training with the fire district. So we carry water bladders out on the mountain, which is something we've never done before. They've got, of course, they've always had extinguishers in the trucks, but spark arresters on the machinery, just being super, super careful with fire danger. So that's sort of a new thing that's coming up, and you know, there's really no way to avoid the fact that it's really hot and dry out there. We're adapting. Yeah, and I think that's probably a good theme for mountain trails is adaptability.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and that's so pertinent right now with the lack of water that's accessible. So we're not just going to turn on the snowmakers. You know, it's a great idea.
Yeah, but there's no water out there.
Right. So, and then, you know, the sensitivity of, you know, cars are even having to be aware just driving on the road. And, you know, when you're building trails, that's a key new component. And that's really impressive that you guys as a team are implementing these new strategies and still moving forward to build new trails.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Mother Nature's presenting a little more, let's say, some more road bumps in terms of building. So a good example that first pops into mind is the CMG reroute. There are 9 switchbacks that we rerouted. Everybody knows that when you come off a CMG, you kind of get dumped right into the village at Park City Mountain. Kind of near the Crescent Lift, and those were rerouted, and within a week, because we had no moisture on the trails, they're starting already to kind of crumble apart. So, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to work around it, and, you know, our trails manager. Yeah, and pray for rain, and our trails manager, Rick's kind of sitting there scratching his head like, okay, well, we can only do what we can do, so... again, you know, adaptability is key. In this instance, it's going to be probably a function of trail design. How do we design and where do we design new trails? And how do we care for the old ones? That's even more difficult conversation.
And that's really great that you brought that up with that new trail descent off of CMG. I mean, all of us who go up Jenny's see that wonderful track. It looks amazing. It's very tempting for those who might want to duck a rope and try it. Let it rest.
Yeah, I don't think they have it closed off, though.
Is it open
now? It's open, ready to go. In fact, we did a connector, a down-only trail from the Jenny's intersection, so if you're coming down CMG, you don't have to do the switchbacks. You can now go sort of on the other side of Bunny Hollow and come down that right into the parking lot, so you don't have to go through the corral at the Crescent Lift anymore.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, somehow your trails guru... Rick Fournier got out of this interview. I think he's maybe out of town. Or
yeah, he's on his way up to Missoula and then Whitefish to have some fun. A well-deserved break, yeah.
Oh, nice. There are great trails up in Whitefish.
There are.
So, yes. So a work trip, no doubt, for him.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's just you two, but, which is great. We're so glad you're here. Let's talk a little bit about some more of the new trails upgrades out there. Ian, are you prepared to talk about that, or is this a Laura thing?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm happy to talk about an exciting project, the Transit to Trails project, which we're really all looking forward to working with the city. Logan Jones and Heinrich have come up with this excellent program to try to alleviate some of the parking issues that we're having up high at the Mid-Mountain Trailhead, just above the Montage there, as well as Bloods Lake Trailhead and the Bonanza Flat Trailhead. It's going to be a program that starts this Saturday. It's It's a reservation shuttle system, so you can get on the city website. I'll have that address later. The meeting place is the Munchkin Lot, which is where Anaya's used to be, for those of you who might not know. It's fenced off right now, but that will be open on Saturday for trail shuttle. It's reservation only, and the shuttle is going to be taking people up to the Mid-Mountain parking lot, again, Bonanza Flat and Bloods Lake Trailhead. So it's going to be a really exciting program that we're happy to see the results of, and have more room up there for everyone to go play.
We had this conversation yesterday, Laura, a little bit about how each trailhead is designed to have the capacity that matches the capacity of the trail. And so you're starting to, I mean, especially with Bloods Lake, you're starting, well, you have been seeing ever since that parking lot went in, that it gets filled up. We also hear a lot of people talk about how they don't go to Bloods Lake Trail because it's just too crowded. So this will, in essence, though, allow more people to go without the number of cars. It solves one problem, but it also does impact the trails in another way by allowing, you know, more and more people to go.
Yeah.
And to be clear, it's not a big bus that's going up there. So if anyone's imagining one of the city buses driving up there, it's not the case. It's a Sprinter van, so I believe it can hold 12 people, somewhere thereabouts. It's got room for 6 bikes. So although we are offering a transit alternative, we've been really careful not to overwhelm the trails with this secondary option.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, speaking of overwhelming the trails, I think probably really important to note is that Wasatch County is going to be enforcing parking on the guard road, or enforcing no parking, rather, on the guard road. So, that's going to help significantly with trail congestion. So,
And how does that play out at the top of Empire Pass, which is sort of maybe no man's land, where it's not exactly Summit County, but it's not exactly Wasatch, or it's half and half, and you see people parking on the road there. It's very narrow. Many times I come through, and you wouldn't be able to get a fire truck through there if you needed to.
Oh,
at the not
Scott's Pass.
No, at the top of Empire Pass. So not the 9,000K trail, big parking lot, not that one. People tend to stop if they don't know there's a bigger one on down.
Right.
And they stop at that very little one right on the top, which also I guess they think of as the 9,000 foot trailhead.
Yeah, the Church of Dirt.
Yes, the Church of Dirt.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're trying to get away from that and just message that there's a nice big parking lot with a great warm-up spur that'll get you to the same, to the pass in a hurry, but with a lot more room and less congestion. So, you know, messaging that Empire Pass parking lot is actually just a look-and-see viewing area, not a trailhead. That's a tough sell, because until people get used to the other parking lots, which are far superior, it's going to be there's a learning curve.
They're so much more superior in so many ways. There's bathrooms there, there's adequate parking, and one of the things that I've seen is at the Church of the Dirt parking area, which shouldn't even call it a parking area, I've seen so many people who've hit other cars or hit a bike or run over someone's helmet. And for me, that's one of the main reasons I don't park there. It's like going to the, you know, black hole park, you know.
It's like going to the liquor store at 4 o'clock on a snow day.
so that's exactly it. Oh my God. So, you know, word to the wise for all of us, you know, hey, we're bringing really nice bikes. Maybe we have our kids with us. If you want to take the risk and have them get run over, go ahead, park up there at Empire. But otherwise, give yourself some room. Go down to that Bonanza Flat parking.
Yeah, and it's just, I think, a learning curve. People will learn about it eventually and go, oh, wow, this is cool. Let's go there. You know, it'll become a go-to.
There's beautiful lupine as you ride up. There's wonderful wildflowers. You miss all that if you park up at the top. So,
right? So true. Unless you don't get a warm-up, right?
Exactly. And with that, all of this is part of the discussion that there is a lot more users. And I think all of us are really excited and also challenged by that. So it's both an opportunity and an obstacle. And we're saying, you know, hey, I can't go to these same trailheads. They're just busy. And we're really thankful that you guys are creating new opportunities and expanding, and there's other, you know, places that we can look. How do you suggest we deal with the congestion? You know, obviously the transit, what other suggestions might you have?
My first suggestion would be, we have 400 miles-ish of trails. Find somewhere new to go. Go check out something different. Maybe you have to start at a trailhead, but don't do the same old, Jenny's, Ham, Spiro, you know, mm-hmm. Jenny's, or I'm sorry, Armstrong, Ham, Spiro, or, you know, just mix it up. Figure out, there's a lot of trail out there. Figure out something new, and it's always cool to do something new, you know? That's what adventure's for.
Right.
Exploring, and we've got some really cool stuff around here.
Yeah, and Rick just worked really hard on this year's maps. We've got two maps for this year, incredibly detailed. So if you're looking for those new places to go, definitely stop by your local bike shop, pick up a Mountain Trails map, and orient yourself to the area, because we've got some great new areas like Sky Ridge above the Jordanelle, some really good parking out there as well, tons of trail options. So if you want to widen your horizons, pick up one of the new trail maps, because they are fantastic.
Yeah. What are the two maps?
Good question. So we've got one that's an Old Town overview and kind of your classic Park City Trails overview. That's a map you'll have if you want to ride the Crest Trail or Mid-Mountain Trail. That's got everything from Bloods Lake all the way over to Summit Park. The other map is Snyderville Basin and Round Valley Trails. Really good detail. That's the map that's going to have Sky Ridge that I just mentioned above Jordanelle. And it's going to have really good detail of the Summit Park Trail. So if you want to get out of the heat, Summit Park's a great place to go, and a new access trail out there called A Toll New World. You park at the Discovery Center behind the Wileman School there and climb up. It's a little bit hot and dusty. It's a newer trail, but once you get up there, it's well worth the effort. Really, really beautiful pines up there and cool water flowing and stuff like that. So nice place to check out.
Yeah, and the Slate Creek Trail is a new one too. South Summit Trails Foundation raised some money and built a really cool trail out in the Forest Service land. So it's like one of the only mountain bike specific trails, I think, in the entire Forest Service.
It's the first of its kind, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like in the country?
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of wow. Crazy, right?
That's exciting. Yeah.
So progress and foresight, right?
Mm. Yes.
People are thinking, let's solve these problems.
It's interesting because at some point, probably all of the different trail networks will become connected, you know, from the Wasatch Trails to the South Summit Trails to, you know, as we're getting close there, you know, Sky Ridge at the Jordanelle and at some point. But I wanted to talk, you know, so we're finding other ways to disperse people. And yet we have so many tourists now on our trails, whether they're hiking or mountain biking. And so there must be a lot of, Ian, I'm imagining this is sort of your job, is to talk to the bike shops and to talk to those shuttle services about how to disperse people who come to town, because, you know, the tourists don't know where they're supposed to be going, so they end up on the Mid-Mountain Trail or the 9,000-foot trail. And those of us who live here sort of avoid those trails for that reason. So how much communication is there between...
Yeah, it's so true. And we're really working hard. We're developing a new Mountain Trails website to provide that information more readily. And with, again, the new maps, they are so clear and provide so many options no matter where in town you are. We know, you know, the development that's gone over at the Utah Olympic Park, for instance, all the work Basin has done there in addition to the Sky Ridge Trails and the access points. I mean, Highland Drive Trailhead just across from Home Depot from 40 there is a big trailhead that's capable of holding a lot of people. So as far as getting the word out there, it's something that's happening organically. And I think as people visit these new trailheads and explore these different options, they'll be more motivated to share that. And also with the weather conditions we've been having here, it's really bringing people up higher. The 9K trail is fabulous. If anyone listening hasn't ridden that trail yet, it is a must do this summer. Put it on your list. As Matt mentioned, the wildflowers up there are amazing. Pardon me, Pete. The wildflowers up there are absolutely spectacular right now, and so we're hoping that because of those draws, people will just be moving to those areas.
Yeah, and that's part of kind of this, the overall strategy is to build connectivity and then also build different routes. For example, the 9K trail to the Mid-Mountain, there's going to be a connector between 9K and Mid, because as you know, if you've ridden the 9K trail, once you pass the Black Forest, you're pretty much committed all the way to Apex. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put in a connector between, it's kind of in the Black Forest area, a little bit easier flow trail to get people who are, you know, more intermediate before you have to do that big climb. So it creates a great route, and that's sort of the overall strategy when we look at the trail system, go, okay, how can we get people to get off of Mid-Mountain, or we can get them off of Jenny's, or, you know, just trying to disperse them, but also doing it by creating meaningful route options.
That's a great idea, and I love that you're thinking it as experiences for users. And that's really important, because otherwise you have someone stranded and they're attacked by the random badger on the 9K trail. So let's, you know, speak a little bit to both users and flora and fauna that are out there, and badgers. You know, how do we manage, or how do you manage, you know, multiple different users and, you know, wildlife and so forth, and, you know, their experiences. So
user specific trails or directional trails are kind of the way we're going. This trail system's, you know, 30 years old ish, and that's you know, it was old school. Some of the old school trails were just, you know, ad hoc, and now we're starting to make sense of them. I mean, we've been making sense of them for quite a while, but yeah.
Well, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about e-bikes.
Ooh.
And so how has Mountain Trails Foundation policy on e-bikes, I mean, it's not really even your policy, it would be city or county policy, but what's your statement on it?
Our statement is that we support local government, and the Park City Municipal has an ordinance that states e-bikes are prohibited on single track unless the rider is 65 or older, or has a mobility disability and is riding a class 1 e-bike. So some pretty stiff restrictions, but allowing for, you know, different capacities.
And the reason for that is, as you said, we have a trail system that is 30 years old in a lot of cases. It's not designed for having higher speeds that e-bikes typically go, or may go, can go. And we don't have that line of sight. However, we've mentioned during this interview maybe like 5 times the Sky Ridge Trail. Maybe we should tell our listeners exactly where that is. And they're a private trail system, is that correct?
No, they're not. Nope.
But they do allow e-bikes.
They do allow e-bikes, as do most of the trails out in the Wasatch County. So Sky Ridge is not Wasatch County, but it is an e-bike-friendly trail system. And it will be growing, and all of the trails, insofar as we've been informed, all of the trails around the Jordanelle will be e-bike friendly. So to back up a little bit, Ian, do you want to describe where Sky Ridge is?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're driving out to Camas, Jordanelle Parkway is on your right-hand side there. You see it circling around the mountain, and there's a great parking area there. It's not huge. It's got about 12 spots, but that's a perfect place to access the Milky Way trailhead there, which is the primary Sky Ridge trail there, open to e-bikes and multiple users. There's also another loop there, the Bunny Loop, which is a hiking only trail, fantastic year round. My family spent a lot of time out there this winter, and it's a really nice exposure. It doesn't get too much snow, so it's easy to find it throughout the winter. But the Jordanelle Parkway parking area is a really special spot, because you can access all of those Jordanelle trails, and it's the closest that you can get without having a parks permit. So I think we're going to see a lot of use out there. Watto Way is another trail that's actually below that trailhead on the Jordanelle side of things. And of course, there's a Jordanelle perimeter trail, and you can ride almost all the way around the reservoir there, e-bike friendly, and cool off in the reservoir when you're done. So really special area, and we're grateful to be developing trails there.
And one of the things that we were discussing before we came on is the uniqueness in a trail that's built for e-bikes versus, you know, an older trail. And what are those components that specifically, you know, are critical for an e-bike trail versus kind of one of our, you know, more old rustic Johns or, you know, whatnot?
I'd say probably width and line of sight are number one.
Yeah, great points. Yeah, a lot of these directional trails that we see, like Down Dog and Porcu Climb, show those similar traits that make a trail more accessible for users that might be traveling at higher speeds, heavier bikes needing more room to brake and stuff like that.
Wow, I thought we would have the time to talk through so many things here. We've used up a half an hour.
What?
And time flies when we're talking with Mountain Trails Foundation. Any quick last words?
No, just be nice and have fun.
Thanks to the donors. Thanks for everyone who makes it happen, because it's all about you guys and we wouldn't have it without you.
That's right. And kudos to Laura Smith, Executive Director. You did write a great piece in, I guess it was your recent newsletter, just about that, about trail etiquette, but about cutting people a break, being nice, realizing not everyone's having, you know, the perfect day.
Right,
all the time.
Right.
don't be the bad badger.
That's right. Ian Hartley and Laura Smith, Mountain Trails Foundation, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.